Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study. This is part 3 of Privileges of Believers, or Privileges of Saints. Believers and saints are basically mentioned in the same breath. You can say it's the same, refers to the same people, saints and believers, those who are truly believers, born-again believers. They are called saints in the Bible. So we have different privileges, and this is what we're talking about in our Bible study. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's such a privilege to come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us, and thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for your word that explains to us who we are in Christ and what we have received, all the privileges we've received. And I want to pray, Father, please, will you open up your word to us so that we may understand these privileges and take it to heart and then act upon it, because we are privileged. Father, it's a privilege to be your child. It's not a right. It's because of your grace, and we thank you for that. So I pray as we study it, Father, please just make it alive in us. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right. Now, we've already looked at three different privileges that we have. And the first one is that we have the privilege of abiding in Christ. We also looked at the privilege of partaking of the divine nature. And then we also looked at, we have the privilege of having access to God through Christ Jesus. Now, the next privilege that we find in Scripture is that we have the privilege of being of the household of God. Now, what does that mean? To be of the household of God. Now, basically, when we say the words, we are of the household of God, it just means that we are heavenly citizens. All right, we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, of which Christ is the head. Christ is king. All right, so this is basically what it means. It's just, we are of the household of God, which means we are heavenly citizens. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are part of the kingdom of which Jesus Christ is the king. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, we read, "Now, therefore," and it's because we have access by one Spirit to the Father, we read about in verse 18, "So now, therefore," and always when we see the words "therefore" in a verse, you can always know that what this verse is doing is it's referring to the previous verse or the previous context of what has been said. So you can't read that verse in isolation. I could say, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's what verse 19 says of Ephesians chapter 2. But because it says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners," it actually tells us why we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, or now part of the household of God. Why? Verse 18 says, because we have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Holy Spirit that basically gives us access to the Father is the one who makes it possible for us to not be strangers anymore or foreigners, but to become fellow citizens with all the saints throughout all the ages. We all become citizens of this heavenly kingdom, of the household of God. And it's because of this one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that gives us access to the Father. And because the Holy Spirit gives us access to the Father, it shows that we are now part of the household of God. We are now heavenly citizens. And what happens is the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells within a person when we are born again, the Holy Spirit actually gives us access to the Father, opens up the way for us to be able to speak to the Father, to come to His throne of grace with boldness, to come into His presence, to have fellowship with God the Father. And because of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that, it shows that we are now part of the household of God. We are now citizens of this heavenly kingdom. We basically join all the saints throughout all the ages. Everyone who has been born again, who has been saved by faith in Jesus Christ through faith, by grace through faith, nah? Every single person has been saved, by the way, in the same way. We've spoken about that before. Even the Old Testament saints, they had faith in Jesus Christ that was yet to come. They observed all these rituals and all the offerings. And why did they do that? Because it was pointing towards Christ who was to come. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible, that is one big whole that shows us that in the Old Testament, everything pointed towards the coming of Christ. In the New Testament, it looks back at what Christ has already done for us, and it looks forward to the second coming of Christ. All right, so when somebody gets saved, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament, it is by grace, by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Whether it is looking back at what Jesus did for us, or looking forward to what Jesus Christ did for us through the sacrificial system, it's still faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way for anybody to be saved. Nobody is saved by their works. Nobody is saved by keeping the law. The reason why people were keeping the law is because they had faith in the sacrifice that God gave, now, the substitutionary sacrifice that God made. Even when Adam and Eve sinned against Him, He made a substitutionary sacrifice. He took an innocent animal and He slaughtered that animal to cover up their sin. And God would do it further on, or later on, He would do it in the person of Jesus Christ. So everybody in the Old Testament were looking forward to the Messiah coming, the one that would take away the sins of the world, you know, the one that would be the perfect sacrifice. Everybody was looking forward to it. And the way they did this was by observing the rituals and observing the sacrificial system that God put in place. Because that was their way of believing in the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that would come in the future. With us, it's different, because we look back, because the sacrifice has already been made. Jesus Christ already paid the penalty for our sin. All right, He was that perfect sacrifice, sacrificed once and for all, never to be repeated again. So what happens with us is we look back at what Jesus Christ did for us, and we believe in Jesus Christ as that perfect final sacrifice, never to be repeated again. That's why we don't have to, that's why we don't have to fulfill the sacrificial system. We don't have to sacrifice animals. We don't have to look at the law as our means of looking forward to Christ, because Christ has already come. And because He had already come, I mean, we can now believe on Him that He is that perfect sacrifice, that He is the substitutionary, He's the substitutional sacrifice for us, and He brought atonement for our sin. So it's this awesome thing, and it's the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells every single believer, and that Holy Spirit then basically reconciles us to God, the Father, and by doing that, we are made part of the household of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely wonderful to know that we have now become part of the household of God? We are now heavenly citizens. We are part of the family of God in the sense that we are children of God. Jesus Christ is our brother in a sense, but He's also our friend. It's just amazing what God has done for us as His children, as sinners. Because remember, we were all enemies of God at one stage. And while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. You know, so it's just amazing. And then the Old Testament saints, they didn't even know that Christ would have the perfect, or die the perfect death on their behalf. They just saw these sacrifices that had to be made. And those who faithfully did it, and those who believed that these sacrifices would take away, or for a period of time at least, take away their sin cause them to be reconciled to God and be clean before God for a while. They didn't even realize what they were doing, that it was all pointing towards Jesus Christ. But praise God, we have the New Testament that tells us how these things are, actually work. All right, so that's the privilege that we have, that we are part of the household of God. Another privilege that we have is that we are members of the church. We become members of the church. But it's amazing how Christ speaks about this. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, or how the Bible speaks about it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, the Hebrew writer tells his readers that they come to what he calls the Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is basically the opposite of Mount Sinai. What happened at Mount Sinai? At Mount Sinai, that's where Moses received the law. All right, that's where Moses received everything that was necessary for the people of Israel to faithfully trust God and to bring sacrifices and to do what is necessary so that at the end of the day, they can be delivered from their sin. And this is where God gave the law, so that at the end of the day, the Jews could know exactly what to do as they were looking forward to the Messiah who would pay the perfect, would be the perfect sacrifice, who would pay the perfect price so that they could be saved from their sin. All right, so the writer of Hebrews comes and he tells his readers that they came to Mount Zion. That's God's heavenly abode. They have now come into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit obviously makes it possible. Yeah. So they have now come to Mount Zion. They are no longer, at the feet of Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law. And it wasn't even the people that went up to receive the law. It was Moses. Yeah. Moses was the mediator who went into the presence of God and then received the law of God, came down to the people of Israel and gave them the law. What does the Hebrew writer says? He says, no, you're no longer at the feet of Mount Sinai where the law was given. No, you are now at Mount Zion. You are now in God's heavenly abode. You are in the presence of the Almighty God, like Moses was in the presence of God. And remember, Moses was the one who said to God that he would just like to see him, even if you can see just him, his glory passing by, and his face shone for 2 weeks. Because Moses was in the presence of the Almighty God. And this is the privilege that we have, beloved, is that we are in the presence of God through Christ. Right, we came into Mount Zion. We came into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, and he speaks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, 22 and 23. He says that we are now in the city of the living God, that is the heavenly Jerusalem, where the Jews used to be in Jerusalem, where they used to go to the temple, where they would observe all the rituals and all the sacrificial. Although the sacrificial system, they observed all of that. Now, that's no longer true. They have now come into the heavenly city of God. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. You see, everything that was connected to the sacrificial system was connected to earthly Jerusalem. These things had to happen at the temple. All right. Yeah, we know that what the Jews did, or what Israel did, was they built the high places and they had altars all over the place. But that was not according to the law. That was not according to what God wanted. God wanted them to come to Jerusalem, and they had to come to the temple, and that's where the Levites were, and they would have to bring their sacrifices at the temple. And once a year, the high priest would go into the most holy place, and then he would come before the presence of God, and he would bring a sacrifice after going through all the rituals he had to go through, and he would bring a sacrifice so that at the end of the day, that sacrifice could pay the penalty for the sins of the people of Israel, those that they did unknowingly, that they couldn't sacrifice for themselves. But what does the Hebrew writer tell us? No, he says, you have now come to the heavenly city, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You are in the presence of God. Beloved, that's amazing. Through Christ, through faith in Christ alone. We're no longer connected to the things of this world. We're no longer connected to the earthly sacrificial system. We're no longer connected to the religious observances of the Israelites and the Jews. That's what is so heartbreaking about people that wants to go back to Sabbath keeping and people that wants to go back to keeping the Jewish festivals and the Jewish feasts and all these kind of things, instead of understanding that all these things were fulfilled by Christ. We are no longer connected to all these earthly things. We are now connected to God the Father who is in heaven. We are now in a heavenly Jerusalem. We are now where Christ is, where He paid the perfect sacrifice. We actually look upon the perfect sacrifice and we worship Him because He's the perfect sacrifice. We don't look at the earthly systems any longer and the religious observances any longer. No, we look to Christ. Directly, we are in the presence of the Almighty God. Even though we are not there physically, spiritually speaking, we are already there. And the Hebrew writer doesn't end off there. He says, no, you have now come into a place where there are innumerable angels. Beloved, where are the angels? The angels are in the presence of God. They are servants of the Almighty God, and they come to serve us as God's people. That's a privilege. Another privilege that we have is that we are served by angels. And why? Because they serve God, and they serve us because God wants them to serve us. You know, in a sense, it's what happened to Daniel, for example, where the angel had to break through to come and give a message to Daniel. And absolutely amazing. Alright, so we've come to a place where there are innumerable angels. How did we get there? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us into the presence of the Almighty God, that brings us before the throne of grace. So spiritually speaking, that's where we are already. We are at Mount Zion, God's heavenly abode, where God is. We are in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are where all the angels are. We are there spiritually speaking, but still it is true. And then he says, we have come to the church of the firstborn. Why the firstborn? Because Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And we who will follow when God raises us from the dead, those who have died in Christ, those who have died as saints, they will be raised first, 1 Thessalonians tells us. And then those who are alive when Jesus returns will be changed in an instant to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air with those who have been raised from the dead. But Jesus Christ was the firstborn that was raised from the dead. Alright, so He's the firstborn that was raised from the dead and we will be raised with Him. And so where are we? We are in the church of the firstborn. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one who was raised from the dead. We will all be raised from the dead. And that is the church. The ecclesia. The gathering of the saints. Those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ in Him alone. That's the privilege we have. We are now heavenly citizens. We are now part of a heavenly abode. We are actually, in a sense, already in heaven, but not yet. It's like our salvation. We are saved completely, perfectly. We are saved. We have eternal life, but not yet. We have all the promises that will be fulfilled, and we have the promises, it's all ours already, but not yet. We are in the presence of Christ, we are in the presence of the Almighty God, we stand before His throne of grace, we can speak to Him with boldness, we are in His presence, in Christ, but not yet. It's that tension that we experience. We have all of this, this is already the privilege that we have. But not yet. So we're not experiencing it personally yet. Even though we all have it already. Everyone who is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Every single saint has the privilege to have all of this already. But not yet. We are in a sense already in heavenly places. Seated at the right hand of the Father. But not yet. It's coming. This is our privilege. This is what we are supposed to look at when we think of the privilege that we have to be saints, to be children of God. These are the things that God has given us. Oh, beloved, isn't this amazing? Well, I believe it is. It is absolutely amazing. And I hope you think of these things, ponder upon these things. Go and read the verses again. And may the Lord really richly bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. And may He give you His grace as He reveals all the privileges that we have in His Word. All the ones that we received in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege. What a privilege. And it is a privilege. And we thank You, Father, for the privilege that we have in Christ Jesus to be saints, and that we have privileges, Father. Oh, thank You so much. May all these privileges be a reality in each one of our lives during this week. Help us to think about these things, to ponder upon these things, to meditate upon these things, because these things are awesome and beautiful. And we thank You for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much. As I said before, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that His face will shine upon you and give you His peace. Until we look at the privileges of believers next time, God willing, bye-bye.